All right, Gordon Whitmire joins us. He is from the Chicago Sun-Times. We've had Gordy on for many years, a great baseball writer. And now, Gordy, you cover a team that hasn't been in the World Series since... is there anyone alive who saw the Cubs? I think someone said that today. No one's alive who possibly have seen the Cubs in the World Series. Well, they have won a World Series.
Well, we've got a columnist, Rick Tellender, who used to know this lady from, I think, maybe she lives in Texas or lived in Texas. He used to check in with her every year. And this, she was 100 years old or something like that. I don't know if she's still around or not. This was a few years back. If she's not, that might be it.
That may be it. Of course, they've been in the World Series 1945, but 1908, the last time they won it. So what's your take on the series so far? We talked about a month ago. We had you on when the Giants went out there. And you had some concerns about Giants-Cubs even at that time. What's your take on this series, which truthfully has some more to go?
Yeah, I thought at the time you and I talked, I think the Giants were still in play for a division title, and I thought that they could be a scary matchup for the Cubs, especially if they wound up with Bumgarner and Cueto 1-2, just because the rotation looks so deep. And I thought they could pitch with them. I also thought that come playoff time, the Giants' playoff-tested lineup would show itself. And I think we've seen it defensively. I don't think we've seen anything offensively. And I think this is something you brought up when we talked back then about the struggles they were having. And now I've seen it firsthand. They should be coming back to San Francisco 1-1 by all rights. Cueto outpitched Lester, period. And yet... The Giants couldn't do anything. They put guys on base against Lester. They seemed to have a good scouting report on him, let off the game with a bunt single, and then at least twice that I saw seemed to completely ignore the scouting report. You know, how does Gillespie not know that Ross constantly looks for that play down there at first base when he gets picked off? Or Hernandez, after he reaches in the first inning, the only way you run on Lester is to get a Lester jump. He didn't come close to that. Well, you're going to be a dead duck with Ross behind the plate. So you've got to make Lester uncomfortable. You've got to get 20 feet out there off of first, make him think about throwing at least, and he didn't do it. So you don't go, but he went anyway. And so, you know, they really shot themselves in the foot. So at this point, I'm going back to what you said, Marty. You were right.
All right, Gordy Whitmire with us. There's so much more to be played. And, of course, look, the Chicago with the song and the excitement and Bill Murray and all that's going on, I know it's captured a lot of the country and people, you know, sort of pulling for the Cubs. But as I said to Bruce Jenkins, we said to Alex when he was in here, these series are supposed to go two at home and then two on the road, whatever it is. You're supposed to win your games at home. This series could have much more ahead of it. This thing isn't over.
Well, it's still a five-game series, so when you take a 2-0 lead, that's huge. Yeah, the way you win a short series is to, if you're the road team, is to steal one there. If you don't, right, you're probably not going to win. It's so rare that happens.
Well, 13 times, I think, out of 57 or something like that, where you've been down 2-0 and you came back to win the series.
Yeah, and
maybe less than that, maybe 7 or 8 times.
And let's be honest, I mean, this Cubs team is not the same as some of those other ones that got beat. It's a pretty well-rounded team that can pitch all the way through the ninth inning and then some, and those kind of teams tend not to give up 2-0 leads.
Gordy Whitmire's with us. Of course, Gordon, Chicago Sun-Times. I look at the Cub lineup, and again, they're facing good pitching. Somehow the Giants pitch to these guys, but then Hayward beats them. Then Baez beats them. Then, you know, Ross will hit one to the track. There's just something about the Fowler. Well, you know, when he was a Rocky, you know, hitting right-handed, he never got a hit. Left-handed, rather. When he hit left-handed, he never got a hit. Right-handed, he always could hit. But the big guys, the Giants kind of shut down the big guys.
The Giants have good pitching. They should be able to shut down a lot of guys. And we might see in Game 3, Bumgarner might just shut down everybody. He's obviously done that before. He's done that before to this team. But one thing that's different about this Cubs team than even last year when they got to the NLCS is they added a Ben Zobrist, who's a guy that'll see pitches. He may not get a hit, but he's gonna get into your pitch count. He's gonna make it tough to get him out. He's gonna put the ball in play, and he's been in the playoffs before, so he's not gonna wilt. You've got Jason Hayward, who has had a horrible year at the plate this year, but he was also the toughest out in the Cardinals lineup against the Cubs last year in the playoffs, and the guy does have an approach, and at any moment can wind up being a guy that produces for you or has that at bat for you. And then these guys that haven't done it, the Javi Baez's, or even the Addison Russells, who's been in the line, he hit .238 this year, but he also hit 20 plus home runs, 90 plus RBIs. Any given moment, these really young, talented guys can be the one that steps up. You make a mistake, you get through Bryant and Rizzo, maybe Zobrist. You take a deep breath, and all of a sudden, Russell gets you. Yeah. Baez gets you.
That's
Hayward gets
you. Sign of a good
you.
Team. Yeah, good young team. There's a lot of youth on this team, and they got the right manager, I'll tell you that. There must be intense pressure in Chicago. I mean, there must be off-the-wall pressure on the Cubs.
I think there's more pressure on the fans. At least that's what it seems like. You get fans. I was walking down the concourse after the game last night, and this guy, he'd obviously had a few beers, Cubs hat, Cubs jacket, and he just had this amazing sense of relief on his face. And he went up to a guy closing up his concession stand, put his hand on the guy's shoulder and looked him straight in the face with great earnestness and said, "It's a great time to be alive." the fans are really feeling the depth of this emotion, pressure, 100-year angst, far more than the players are. I talked to Bryant in the clubhouse last night, and I reminded him reminded him nothing. He didn't know it. 1984, the Cubs got up 2-0 on the Padres at home, went out west, lost three straight. He said, "We're too young. I don't remember 1984. We're trying to write our own history."
Yeah.
And something Bryant said that sticks in the back of my mind from a few days ago is he said, you know, this idea of win or you've failed this year really doesn't exist, because the way these guys, especially these young guys, look at it is they look around that room and they see all this talent, and they see this talent that's coming. Contreras should be the starting catcher next year. Albert Almora should be the starting center fielder. Both these guys are rookies on this playoff roster. And they say, we should have 5 or 6 years of runs like this. So they don't feel a pressure that it has to happen right now.
All right, good point. I know the pitching, you know, there is a window. And I always say with the Giants pitching, I think the window is open again. With Samardzija here for next year, Matt Moore here. And then, of course, you get Bumgarner and Cueto. I think the window opens. I think for the Cubs, just looking at the pitching for a second, I mean, there's Arrieta. You got Lester. And you get Hendricks, and you get Lackey, and you got to be concerned. Maybe this is the window for them to get it done.
One more year. Yeah. All these guys will be there for one more year. They've all put up tremendous years this year, but they looked going into the offseason after having that surprising 97-win season and getting as far as they did, they thought, well, okay, we're better than we thought, quicker than we thought. And here's our controllable guys out this far. So they said 2 years. So they did 2 years of an offseason in 1 year to try to take advantage of this. So they feel that from a front office standpoint, they feel like this is a two-year proposition through next season. But given just how well the starting rotation performed this year, they would be foolish to assume that it's going to do the same thing next year. So. To your point, I think you're right. That window, whether it's open for one more year or not, there really is this opportunity right now that may not even be there next year.
Yeah, it's usually a pitching window is what you look for, and I think both teams have it for another year or so, and then we'll see what transpires. Gordon Whitmire with the Chicago Sun-Times. Gordy, you get Bumgarner tomorrow, you get Arrieta. We know Bumgarner so well, 235 innings, and you know what he did last Wednesday night. We know what he's done against the Cubs. He's had a lot of success against the Cubs. If Arrieta doesn't have it, how do you know it? When do you find that out?
You'll probably find it out in the first inning. even if he has a 1-2-3 inning, watch his pitch count, watch whether guys are fouling off a lot of pitches, and watch whether he's in three ball counts.
Okay.
Because that's when he has his problems, when he's not able to spot. His stuff is so good, it moves so well that sometimes. And by the way, his mechanics, you know, similar to Bumgarner, he comes across his body. It means it takes a little bit. If you're off just a little bit, it's off a lot by the time it reaches the plate. So he's either going to be on, and it's going to be a very quick first inning, or he's going to kind of labor a little bit, maybe even if he gets out of it, and you're going to say they have a chance to get him.
You thought, and we've talked over the year, that Samardzija should have stayed in Chicago. Your thought, maybe he should have stayed there. We've talked about it. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think there was a point where he looked like a guy they wanted to build around. When Theo Epstein's front office came in, Samardzija was one of the first guys to knock on Theo's door and say, I want a chance to start. Now, he had had one successful season at that point as a reliever. As a start to finish full season in the big leagues, and he produced. He said, I want to start. So they said, all right, well, you know, we're not winning anyway. Let's see what we got. And he went out there, and he did a good job. And then he winds up being a two-time opening day starter for these guys. You kept thinking there's another level. There's a ceiling that we haven't seen yet. And so they were willing to invest in that, not as much as he felt they should have wanted to invest in it. And so he wound up, you know, the way we phrase it, bet on himself and took himself to the free agent market, which meant, of course, when they couldn't reach an agreement, they traded him to get the value out of him. I think in retrospect, looking back on it, I don't know if he feels this way, but just in terms of just sheer performance, just his ability to kind of reach that ceiling, I think he probably would have been better off staying, taking one of those offers. I think at one point it was 5 and 85 was wound up being maybe their last good offer, and he left. Had he stayed, he had a great relationship with the pitching coach Chris Bosio, and Bosio got more out of him than other pitching coaches had, and there was a really great growth arc there with him under Bosio, and I think it might have had a pretty good chance of continuing.
Well, he's had his troubles in Wrigley, and he certainly had his troubles last night and contributed to the game last night, but you know him well. All right, well, it's great to have you here. Arrieta, you gave us a great scouting report on that, and I know how much respect you guys have for Bumgarner. And as I say, in a five-game series, you're right, down 2-0. It's not great. You don't like it. It's like being down 3-1 in a seven-game series. You got to run the table to get it done. But they are two here. And I don't know, from your perspective, if the Giants can win two, going back there for Game 5, Lester and Cueto, you can't feel great about it on either side. I mean,
I totally agree with you.
You know.
And not only that, but if you're going back for Game 5, it means the Giants have done some pretty good
Something's
things for
happened.
2 days.
That's right. Yeah,
and
good
that could change.
Happened.
And if Cueto does what he did in Game 1, that could change the entire equation for a Game 5.
Well, game by game, as I say. This time of year, game by game. Great to see you, as always. We love having you on in spring training, and we'll enjoy talking with you over the next couple of days.
Thanks, Marty. It's great.
All right, Gordon Wittenmeyer, very good. Chicago Sun-Times. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.